Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome inside China Basin, your San Francisco Giants three times a week podcast brought to you by Kane's Tire in San Rafael. Kane's Tire has always had the lowest prices in Marin for 54 years. Today's guest from AT&T Park in San Francisco, Giants left-hander Jeremy Affeldt. Jeremy, I know we've talked a lot about how players have to have a short memory in this game, you know, especially after the game on Sunday. That was a game that looked like you guys were going to have, but do you take solace in the fact that those don't happen very often with this ball club?
Yeah, I think, they happen. No one really wants them to happen. No one expects them to happen. No one assumes they're going to happen, but they end up happening. And it's kind of momentum built and kind of unraveled. But you know what? We're not perfect, you know? So I think when it comes to, you know, the defense, the way, you know, Craw's been playing all year has been phenomenal. So, you know, everybody, you know, knows that he felt bad, you know, and because he obviously wanted to get out of it too. So, you know what, it's just one of those frustrating games. But, you know what, I think we've picked up a couple wins along the way here where we've stole some wins from guys. So they all even out, but you kind of want to take those extra wins that you have and you want to try to grab those as much as possible, especially when, you know, we understand that we were in a one-game playoff last year, you know. But they happen, but I think we'll overcome it. We'll be fine.
When you're in the middle of something like that, and it's you that it happens to, how do you get over it? What helps? Teammates talking to you, going home, seeing your kids? What are the things that help as you try to get over it and go to the next day? And, you know, if you don't have a game the next day, I don't know if that helps.
I think, you know, it is a short memory type thing. I think, you know, the good thing is just another day. But, you know, we're human beings and we can get in our heads and, you know, a lot of times we're our worst enemy, right? So, you know, I think it's just a situation of Crawford knows he can turn that play, obviously. So I think you just try to, all right, it's over. Now we got to play another game and we're going to, you know, focus on what today brings. So I think you just try to let it go as quick as possible. And sometimes it's hard to do. Sometimes it's not. It just depends on where you're at mentally. But as good as Crawdaddy's been playing, man, I think he'll let it go. And Casilla, man, as good as he's been all year, it was just a little bit of a blip on the radar there.
We'll have more with our regular guest, left-hander Jeremy Affeldt of the Giants, right after this.
Hi, I'm Mark McElhone at Kane's Tire in San Rafael. If you want the lowest prices in Marin and the best service, call us at 453-2942. Kane's Tire, 1531 4th Street, where our prices beat Costco's prices every time.
Last time we talked, Hunter Pence was just joining this team, and he really made a big impact. I think the team seemed like it was starting to play better even before he joined the team, but, you know, putting up around 6 runs a game for a little while there, that had to be pretty exciting for everybody.
Yeah, you know, I think when you can pad leads like that and when you can force teams to have to try to, you know, swing at your pitches to make up for being behind and not just one run, multiple runs. The pitchers, you know, we have a little bit more breathing room to make our pitches. You know, they have to kind of be more on the aggressive, to swing the bat. And if we're pounding the strike zone, they have to swing at our pitches. So to have, you know, a group of runs like that, extra runs, when you have 3, 4, 5 run leads, it's a positive thing. And I think everybody enjoys those games. There are not a lot of them, but we do enjoy them. And when the offense, defense, and pitching are all clicking, that's what you're going to get.
When you look at some of the left-handed hitters on this team, if you were on another team and you had to face some of these guys like Aoki, Crawford, Panic, Belt, none of them are lefties that it looks like it's just going to be an easy out for a left-handed pitcher. The numbers are pretty surprising, actually. I don't even know if you'd ever want to rest them against a lefty. So what do you see when you're watching your left-handed batters and what they're able to accomplish?
I think they just make you work, you know. They don't really give up at bats. So, you know, Aoki makes you work. He flicks and he's a pest a little bit up there. Crawford is, you know, the last couple years has hit lefties pretty good. He's just hitting them really good this year. He's staying in on pitches. He's not bailing. So I think he's just making you work. And I think for Belt, all these guys that, you know, sometimes you think maybe, you know, have lefties face him, it's a dangerous at bat either way. And it makes other managers think about what they're doing. They got to try to figure out what they're trying to do when they put different pitchers in, or if you have multiple lefties in the pen, which lefty are you going to use? Or if you only have one pen, do you use them now or do you use them later? I mean, it's a tough deal, man. And I think it doesn't make it easy on a left-hander coming in. His day is definitely not easy when he has to come in and face those guys. So I think that's a huge benefit to have, especially because we have some pretty good left-handed starting pitching in our division. So if we can hit, if our you know, everyday lineup can stay in there for the most part and face those guys, it's always going to help.
More with Jeremy Affelt after this. Inside China Basin is sponsored by Angel Borelli, a nationally known expert on pitching mechanics from right here in the Bay Area. She works with some of the best pitchers in the Bay Area, troubleshooting and solving their performance issues. Listen to Angel Borelli's weekly podcast, The Fix, which discusses issues and solutions for pitchers from a sports science perspective, and get a weekly tip on pitching at Angel Borelli Pitching on Facebook. Check out our website, jimscience.com, where you can order her books and other publications. Contact Angel Borelli today. And stay with us after this conversation with Jeremy Affelt. Angel will give us the latest on what Matt Cain is doing. Gerrit Cole is pitching for the Pirates here on Monday. This kid throws really hard. I mean, you see more and more young pitchers coming up. They're throwing mid-90s. But what would you tell the young guy like that, though? Because they have that in their arsenal. But you really have to be able to pitch still. You're still learning how to pitch. What do you say to, you know, young guys who throw hard like that?
Well, I mean, you got to use your fastball. You got to be aggressive. I mean, that's a hard – I mean, the hitters are definitely guessing out of your hand to a point, you know. They're seeing it more and more, so their timing's getting a little bit different. But, you know, if you can execute your pitches, if you can pound the zone, if you can keep the ball down and you can elevate when you need to – you know, I think that's a really hard thing to do, is hit a guy through a 95 with a good breaking ball. So I think, you know, a lot of times they try to overthrow, or they tend to, you know, pick the zone a little bit. And I think, you know, a young guy that has that kind of velocity, that has a breaking ball he can command, I think you just got to challenge hitters, and you got to put it over the plate, because it's hard enough to make contact with pitches coming that hard, worrying about a breaking ball on top of it.
But, you know, like a guy like Tim Lincecum, who used to throw, you know, mid-90s, doesn't anymore. He even said the other day he'd probably want to use his fastball more. You know, he's got the breaking balls. He's tricking hitters in a different way these days. But even if you don't have the big velocity, isn't the fastball still a good weapon if you locate it right?
Yeah, because you're trying to get – it's all about timing. So, you know, I think you're trying to get hitters to swing at a certain timing. If you're throwing 87 or 97 – it doesn't really matter if you can command it. Now, the 97, you might get away with a mistake over the plate because they might mishit it, you know, because it's coming hard. So 87, they can tend to probably square that ball up a little easier because the ball, they see it a little bit better. But if you're getting there, if the average bat speed's 90 and you're throwing 87 and they got to slow their bat speed down to 87, well, that just means that the timing got messed up. So all the other pitches now, it's all relative if you can command it. It is a matter of commanding, though, commanding the zone and this, you know, I think you start throwing slower, you have to be a little bit more, you have to execute a little bit better on the thirds and on the corners than over the middle. I think that's the main difference. But if you can command a hard fastball at 95 and with a breaking ball, I mean, there's not a whole lot you can do.
Speaking of that kind of stuff, Hunter Strickland has that kind of stuff. And we saw what he could do at the end of the regular season. We saw what happened in the postseason. He gave up some home runs. How much do you talk to him? I mean, does he lean on some of the veteran guys as he tries to develop in his career with this great array of pitches that he has?
Well, in the playoffs, yeah. But since he's come up, he's done his job. You know, I think if he needs to talk to us, we're here for him. But right now, what he's throwing up there, he didn't really need to talk to anybody. You know, he's commanding the breaking ball pretty good. He's commanding the outside part of the plate. He's got some velocity behind it. So, honestly, you know, I don't think we need to help him out at all. I think he's doing just fine on his own. And but we will be here if anything does happen. But if he keeps doing what he does, what he's been doing the last, you know, 10 innings or whatever, it's pretty awesome.
As we finish up, Steph Curry had a chance to see this team play on Friday, and you know, the Golden State Warriors are really the talk of the Bay Area right now going into the finals, along with the Giants, of course. But can you think back to 2010, what that was like? This city was so hungry for a championship. You guys got it, and that's kind of the feeling, I think, around the Warriors, that, you know, people are really hungry for them to win since they haven't won in 40 years.
Yeah, I think it's an exciting time for them. I think it's when you can bring something home and you can be the team to kind of bring life to a city that, you know, it's, you know, loves sports, and the Bay Area that loves sports, to see what they're doing is pretty awesome. I think we've all, to a point, most of us have experienced that bringing a championship to a city for the first time, or first time in a long time at least, you know, I think it's awesome. And I think the vibe that they're creating and the way the city's excited about it, we see a lot of the shirts in the stands here. So I think the vibe they're creating is awesome. I think the electricity's here, and I think it's a good time for Bay Area sports, that's for sure.
Jeremy, thanks a lot for the time. Good luck.
You got it. Thanks.
That's Giants pitcher Jeremy Affelt, and now joining us for our biweekly segment here on thesportsvirus.com to talk about pitching mechanics is Angel Borelli, an expert on pitching mechanics. And Angel, a lot of Giants fans are wondering, when is Matt Cain going to be back on the mound? And he's been throwing, he was throwing to hitters the other day. I saw him on the mound the other day after he was thrown on flat ground. So he's making some progress, and hopefully he'll be out on a rehab assignment soon. And that means that he'll be back on a major league mound at some point soon. So what do you think about the progress of Matt Cain and what he should be doing to get ready?
Well, you know, actually, he's going to be pitching three innings today with a 45 limit pitch count, and that is actually what Matt needs to be doing. So just to educate everybody, he has a flexor tendon strain, and that is a problem in the forearm. And the forearm is, any problems with that, the forearm is the precursor. If you have injuries in the forearm, it is a precursor to the Tommy John injury. So the forearm, on an anatomical level, its role is to protect the elbow joint, and that's what it does. It protects the elbow joint, and it has to be strong. And it is, by the way, very thick and strong because our wrist moves around all day. And all the muscles from the fingertips that grip the ball to the wrist, which is the last joint that imparts velocity, all those muscles run up the forearm and insert on the inside of the elbow. This is a very serious place to have any issues with. So given that he hasn't had it hasn't progressed to anything more than a strain, which means he's got tendon inflammation, et cetera, this is a good sign. But the fact that he's had an injury in it, he's got to be careful. And the main thing with it is not to let it get fatigued. So the protocol with returning him to play would be, of course, to do what they've been doing, which is flat ground throwing, then they take him downhill. But remember, the forearm, not only is it protective, but it's responsible for changing the hand position of the wrist. So when you see the difference in a hand position, or a wrist position, I should say, for a cutter or a curveball or a changeup, anything that where the forearm, the hand is in a different position, the forearm is actually doing that. So for him to have really good sense that he is ready to return to a real game in the major leagues, he's got to see hitters. He's got to go through enough pitches to where he's testing out all his pitches, and not just testing them like in 45 pitches. I mean, if he goes through 45 pitches and they think he's ready to go, that's going to be a mistake. He has to simulate a full game with all his pitch types in there so that hopefully he gets through the game pain-free. That night he's pain-free. And the real telling story will be when he wakes up the next day. Is his arm fully recovered? If he's showing any signs of fatigue, the fatigue is the number one enemy to the forearm. So hopefully during this time he's also been strengthening it. But the protocol to follow is to get him to throw the number of pitches you expect from him, all his different pitch types. And when you get a green light that he's done all that a few times and he's good to go, then he's ready to get back to a game. And I'm hoping that that's the way they do it. They've got to be careful with returning him with this kind of injury.
And if he goes from the Arizona Rookie League, which I guess is the first step, then he will go, you know, A-ball. What does it mean as far as the level of competition? Does that really matter?
I don't really think so, because I think a pitcher at that level, I don't care who he's pitching to, unless it's a 10-year-old and he's afraid to hurt him, he's going to be playing and pitching his best. And the main thing for the forearm is the endurance of the forearm and the ability of the forearm to repeat the power performances and to repeat the change of positions that occur. And I can't remember what kinds of pitches he throws, but every time there's a rotation with the thumb more under or the way the curveball is thrown, it makes the forearm work differently. So the main thing is running through all his pitches and seeing a pitch count where he can say, wow, it's not tired. 45 doesn't tell you that. 60 won't tell you that. It's when you get into the 70 numbers that things start to change inside the tissue. So he's going to have to actually simulate some real games. And I'm sure they know this. So I think it's more that than it is that he's not facing major leaguers. Because at his level, he knows how to get down and get the job done, and that's what he has to do, and prove to himself and everyone else that his arm is okay.
Thanks, Angel.
Okay, Joe. Talk to you soon.
That's pitching mechanics expert Angel Borelli. I want to thank her and Jeremy Affeldt for joining us today. By the way, you can catch the Fix podcast that's featuring Angel Borelli every other week here on thesportsvirus.com. Join us again Friday. Dave Greschner, Giants trainer, will be with us. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin.